You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Kristen Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. T-Rod. And you're listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right, this is All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. We've got another great show for you this week. I'm Wes. I am your host here at All Action Sports Radio. And, of course, this week we have another jam-packed show for you. And we're going to get right into it, as we always do here at All Action Sports Radio. I want to remind everybody, this week we have the 7th Annual Spider Surf Fest, which is down in Hermosa Beach. That's a great event. We had Dennis Jarvis on last week, and he was talking about that event. And we're going to be down there. And hopefully we will see you down there. Big wave surfer Alex Gray is getting the Standout Surfer of the Year award at the LA Surf Awards. And we'll be on hand to congratulate our man Alex Gray at the Hermosa Beach Spider Surf Fest this weekend. So hopefully we'll see you out there. And come in and say hello to all of us here at All Action Sports Radio. Speaking of which, here at All Action Sports Radio, we have a contest. A contest, yes. We had a big production meeting. It's out there. We're closing up on summer. So we want to jump it off with a All Action Sports Radio, allactionsportsradio.com competition. And basically, it's pretty simple. It's a Facebook competition, Twitter competition. You like us, follow us. We have a certain amount of listeners. They're in the thousands. Our listeners are in the millions. But our Facebook, we're in the thousands. And I'm not going to tell you what the number is for Twitter or for Facebook. But Our producer, our booking producer, Pam, she wrote down two numbers, several numbers, and basically what she's doing is, and what we're doing is, whoever hits that like number that she wrote down, she's going to open up the envelope, we'll announce it on the air, and whoever hit that like number, like say we're at 8,500 likes and she wrote down 8,550. Well, so if you liked us on Facebook and you're that 8,550th person, then you get into our swag bag. And our swag bag is full of t-shirts, wheels, backpacks, drinks. Yeah, we get energy drinks. We get stuff sent to us from different commercial people and athletes and whatnot. And they're gifts, and we've piled up a big, big stash of swag. And so we're having our All Action Sports Radio Facebook Twitter contest. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, and depending on what number you are in the follow sequence, we're going to undo that, and you get a prize. We'll call you up, let you know, or email you, or however that works. And you get to pick whatever you want out of our swag bag. So that's our contest. Go to All Action Sports Radio on Facebook, and you can go to Twitter at All Action Sport. No S. Follow us, like us, and get some swag. We got a ton of swag. I've seen it. I don't take it because I've got enough. But if you want some, go ahead and follow us and on Twitter and like us on Facebook. All right, the Drug Aware Pro and Margaret Rivers is going on as we speak, and we talked about it with Ryan Simmons on All Action Sports Radio. And if you want in-depth analysis of the riders and the comp, go to www.audioboo.fm/All Action Sports Radio, and you can hook up with Ryan Simmons, and we're talking the Drug Aware Pro and Margaret River, which is going on right now. All right, this week we have on the show, we have motocross star Vicky Golden. Last year, she won the ESPN's X Games Moto Best Whip. And just recently, Vicky Golden has made an historic accomplishment by becoming the first female to earn a 250-class endorsement to compete in the Monster Energy Supercross Series. And that is phenomenal. All right? That is absolutely phenomenal. And to see how she did it, you got to listen to her interview. It will blow your mind how she accomplished this. She did what most guys could never ever do, and by sheer determination, she did something that practically no one does in the world of motocross. But that's how bad she wanted. So if you stick around, you want to listen to that coming up later in the show. Our song of the week: Faces of Film, their track "The Rule." We had a great song last week. And this week, this one is just as killer. Faces of Film, "The Rule." That's our song of the week. And then we'll go to Moto with Jason Wygant from RacerX Online. James Stewart is just on fire. He's setting the motocross world in a tailspin by winning not one, not two, but three motos in first place. And our very own Jason Wygant called it each time. Each week, he said, yeah, I think James Stewart's going to do it again. So we're looking forward to talking to Jason Wygant about that. And, man, what this means for Ryan Villopoto. Can he stay on top? Is he going to win? Is he so far ahead that no matter what James Stewart does, you know, how many wins he gets, it's all wrapped up for Ryan Villopoto. We'll talk to Jason Weingen about that and see just exactly, you know, where it all stands in the world of motocross. And, you know, this week, a legend, you know, a man who changed the world as we know it, which, you know, if you think about it, very few people do it. We hear about it all the time. But this person literally changed the world as we know it. He single-handedly revolutionized the surf industry and even action sports as we know it. He passed away. Hobie Alter, who died this past week at the age of 80, was known as the Henry Ford of surfing. Back in 1958, he developed the mass production foam surfboard, and he popularized surfing. Before that, you had to drag around these huge wooden heavy boards, and not many people could do it. Not many people could get these surfboards. Not many people went out and surf because they didn't have the vehicle or the means to go out there and surf because they had these big heavy wooden boards. Well, he revolutionized the world by coming up with this foam method and these lightweight surfboards, and it worked. That's the main thing about coming up with these great ideas. It worked. And not only did it work, but he was in the right place at the right time. Because when he came out with his board, right after that, they came out with the TV show Gidget, the movie Gidget. Remember that? I don't know if you remember. A lot of us don't even remember. I wasn't around for it. But basically, I saw all the reruns where all these kids were all into surfing, fun-loving California subculture. I'm going to run a clip for you real quick for about 30 seconds of Gidget.
What is a Gidget? It's a girl, a cuddling, befuddling teen, who set out to find her a man of her own, and found seven young beachcombers with a single thought, to enjoy life and love without working. Meet Kahuna, their leader, and Waikiki, Stinky, Lord Byron, Hotshot, Lover Boy, who tried to live up to his name, and Moondoggy, who was quite a guy.
There's no such thing as the next best thing to love.
You'll get to meet them all when you see Columbia.
All right, that was Gidget. And they show them all on the beach having the time of their life and are running around with these big foam surfboards that Hobie Alter created. That was the vehicle that launched him. Because without TV, that big, big, massive commercial that they sold around the world, there would be no Hobies. But Gidget came out, and boom, everybody wanted to go surfing, and he made it easy. The surfboards were easy, and everybody could do it. Gidget helped launch Hobie, and Hobie went on to become a household name. It became the way everybody wanted to surf, and it took over the world. It's absolutely amazing, and we're sorry that Hobie Alter passed away. God rest him, and God bless him. And by the way, did you know that Gidget actually means something? It's actually in a dictionary. It means a ditzy dame. They would never get away with that right these days. A TV show called a ditzy dame. Never, never, ever. How did they do it? I have no idea. All right, man. We have a great show for you this week here at All Action Sports Radio. Before I forget, Chris Pastris. Stereo, he's going to be here talking about skateboarding. Street League's around the corner. We just finished with the Tampa Pro, and we also had what do we got? X Games coming up. So we're going to be talking to Chris Pastris about all of that later in the show. You want to stick around that, Chris Pastris from Stereo. And that's my cue, man. We're going to be moving into Moto with Jason Weingart here at All Action Sports Radio. You want to stick around for that? Because we have more and more and more here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com.
Don't mind to spoil you. I'm coming for you.
And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. Don't forget our Facebook and Twitter challenge here at All Action Sports Radio. You like us on Facebook and you follow us on Twitter. And Pam will open the envelope, and whichever number that you land on, you can go into our All Action Sports Radio swag bag. And we'll send you something great from all of us here at All Action Sports Radio. My name is Wes. I'm your host here. And I want to give a big shout out to Quincy, Illinois, WGEM 105.1 FM. Thank you for being a part of our show each and every week here at All Action Sports Radio. We're moving into our moto segment with Racer X online editor Jason Weingant. He also hosts the TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC series, the largest and the most prestigious off-road racing series in the U.S. Jason, Mr. Three-peat, Mr. Wright, you did it again. You called the race in St. Louis for James Stewart. Everybody wants to know, how do you do it? How do you see Jason racing so well?
That's it, man. When James Stewart's rolling, and we haven't seen him rolling like this in quite some time, but when he is, the only person that can beat him is himself. And now we've even seen Ryan Villopoto can't even stop him straight up. With Stewart, there's always potential for a crash, but honestly, the last few years, even when he didn't crash, he wasn't always fast enough to win. I think now he's back to the point where if he doesn't crash, he's going to win. So that's pretty good odds, man. If you're faster than everybody, you're probably going to win more often than you don't.
I want to hold up right there with James Stewart, and we're going to come back to him. There's a couple of things I want to get to, so I don't run out of time. The Alessis are at it again. I just read their Moto Concepts. Their team is going to split their time in the summer between the U.S. Nationals and the Canadian Nationals.
Yep.
What is that all about?
You know, the only reason it makes sense is because this is a group of people that often try not to make sense. So that's the only reason it makes sense. The team, Moto Concepts, the owner, Mike Genova, and the Alessi family have always been pretty counterculture to the point where they ride a white bike and they say, do not dare call it a Suzuki. It's a Moto Concepts Racing 450. I mean, they truly, I think, go to bed at night thinking that they built their own motorcycle from scratch, even though they started with a Suzuki you could buy in a dealership like anybody else and put parts on it. But it's deep down inside, it's still Suzuki. So my point is, they're counterculture. They want to run a completely different looking and acting program than any other team. The Alessis have always been a little weird like that. So I guess the weird decision is actually the normal one. I don't think it's a good one, but it's, you cannot be shocked by anything this group does. You cannot be.
But doesn't that only work when you win?
Here's the real problem. Yes, for sure, they have to win. You're only going there because you're like, okay, our odds of winning a title in the U.S. are slim, and our odds of winning a title in Canada is much better. But I don't believe the Canadian series is big enough or prestigious enough for, even if you winning there, I don't know if it's going to do much. That's the problem.
Oh, wow. Whole shot of Alessis at it again. All right, let's do a quick injury update. Geico Honda's Will Hahn had a super, super gnarly crash in St. Louis. He's been diagnosed with a broken right humerus, a broken clavicle, and a crack in the base of his skull. Just how bad is it, and what's his recovery look like?
It's actually not nearly as bad as it sounds when you hear a cracked skull.
That sounds bad.
Yeah, I mean, I actually texted with Will on Sunday night, so this is like 24 hours after it, and he even sent me a picture of him in an X-ray smiling, giving the thumbs up, and he actually says he's been worse as far as injuries go, which shows you how gnarly most motocrossers are. Because there aren't any complications with the skull thing. As bad as that sounds, it's going to heal normal. And the upper arm, they think, will heal normally. The only thing they're worried about is once that all heals and they look at some of the other shoulder damage he has, they can't really figure out what the deal is until the arm is healed and the skull is healed. He's either going to be good to go or they're going to say, wait, there is more shoulder damage and you're going to have to wait longer. So he's either back late in the summer or next year, depending on how bad the shoulder is. But the bone's got to heal before they can figure out the rest of the shoulder.
Now, you know, according to a team source, a doctor that checked out Will Hahn, they said he had a cracked skull. The doctor had only seen a cracked skull like that on two other victims, and both of them were dead.
I think they said it was like car accidents or something like that. I can't believe, again, talking to Will literally the next day, he seems to not be too worried about it. Skull is obviously a crazy deal, but I guess the way they're looking at it is where it is and how it happened. It's just a bone. Bones heal. He's not too worried about it. That's crazy. But, for these guys, you know, it is with sports, it's not a fatal problem. He's not going to die from it. So they more look at the problem is, okay, if your shoulder's jacked, the joint is jacked, will that affect how you're going to ride a motorcycle down the road? So that's why the shoulder is actually more of an issue than the cracked skull, as scary as cracked skull sounds.
Well, the thing for me is, I mean, you've been around, Jason. People are saying that's one of the worst crashes they've seen in a really, really long time in the series.
For sure.
It was for you as well?
Yeah, and I think this is how you know it's bad. A couple other riders commented on how scary it was to watch that. And these guys obviously have seen it, done it. They've all hit the ground plenty of times themselves. So it takes a lot to get the attention of these riders. So that's how you know it was bad.
Yeah, he was up, like they said, 50 feet in the air.
Well, basically what happened was he was trying to do a jump that for these guys is fairly routine, and he just didn't get enough lift and didn't get over the edge of it and crash. And I think it's one of those things you look at and you're like, wait a minute, that's a jump that any one of these guys could do 100,000 times in a row. But it's still possible that you could mess it up and really get hurt. And I think that's the scary part. I don't think the riders are as wigged out when someone tries to do something crazy and crashes, because you just think, well, I won't do anything crazy. But when a routine jump for these guys goes wrong, that's when I think people get wigged out, because that could happen to anybody.
Yeah, for sure. You're listening to All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. We're in our motor segment with Jason Weingand, RacerX online editor. Hey, real quick, let's jump to he's right here. Justin Brayton. He broke his foot when he clipped Justin Barcia's bike. And he, you know, they wrapped him up and he rolled. Was it a small break or was he in? What do they do for these guys? Do they fill them full of, like, pain meds and say, go?
It depends on the situation, but often no, because the problem is you can't really, you know, if you can't feel anything, you really can't ride. So for the most part, you know, it depends. Sometimes with a shoulder you can kind of do it and get away with it, but when it comes to a foot, like, if you don't have any feeling, you're not going to be able to know what the heck you're doing. So he just kind of kept the boot on the whole time, because he knew if he took it off, it was going to look gnarly and it was going to swell up. So I think he just hung out, wore the boot the whole time. He said it's really not a big problem. He might even be able to get to ride this week, and he's definitely going to race this weekend. It's not perfect, but it's not as bad as a broken foot would be to normal people. But again, this is what these guys deal with week in and week out. I saw him on Monday. He was limping around, but he was walking. No crutches or anything.
Man, just how tough. That's amazing. Hey, let's talk James Stewart. 50th win. Last week you said there was no way he could catch McGrath riding like this. There are some people who think he can. I think James Stewart is smarter, more patient, more of a technical rider, and pretty much shedding his cow reputation, and that comes with maturity. Are you rethinking that he can catch McGrath, or you're still sticking with the same story?
I'm sticking with it because the record is 72, Stewart is 50. He would need to basically win 50% more races than he's already won in his career, and he's been racing for like 12 years. So, you know, even at the pace he's averaged already, that would take 6 years to get there, and there's no way he's racing six more years. There's no way. So I say virtually no chance. That hasn't changed in my mind.
Even if he wins every race the rest of the season?
He's still only won 50, and he's got to win 22 more. You know what I mean? And it was only a month or so ago that we were wondering if he'd win any more. So that's just a really tall order. I almost think, honestly, the one thing no one's thinking about is that everyone assumes the title's just done and it's Ryan Villopoto's and he's already got it. I'm actually not so as assured of that as I am of McGrath's record standing forever.
You know, here's the thing that I want to touch upon. You know, do you think that James Stewart, since he's 36 points out of the lead in this series, he's not feeling any pressure, so he's riding, you know, loose, fancy free. He's riding smart, right? What is there any shot statistically at all that you can see him chasing Villopoto down and giving him a run for his money towards that championship? I mean, what I'm saying is, if he wins the next two, if he podiums, what kind of combination does he have to do, or is it so far out of reach that it's a lost cause for him to even think he's going to win a championship?
I think everyone thinks it's a lost cause and it's too far out of reach. I don't, only because of this. Obviously, you know, I'm 90% sure Villopoto is going to win, but I'm not 100. Only because in this sport, backing it in, racing the calculator, almost never works. Everyone's going to say, oh, Villopoto will just cruise. But my old buddy Jeff Emick, who I did TV with for years, he's a former Supercross champ, he always says, You'd rather have momentum than points. And when you're just cruising around and not doing great, you're only doing okay, that's when you're not riding yourself, you're not doing your normal thing, you're thinking about other things, and then weird stuff starts to happen. And the only way Villopoto loses the title is if something weird happens. But a lot of times, when you're programmed to go for it every time and win, and then you just think, oh, I'll just get third, you're such a different mindset. We've seen strange things happen, and that's what Stewart needs to have.
All right.
So, it's not over.
Jason, I got like 10 seconds. Who do you got in Houston?
I'm going to keep rolling on James Stewart, betting on seven.
Betting on seven? James Stewart? All right, man. I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to Twitter it out there. Jason Weingart, man, you are still the man. Hey, we have Vicky Golden coming on later in our show. Next week, I want to talk to you about what her impact is going to be on the Supercross Series if she does indeed make that leap.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Thanks, Wes.
All right, thanks, Jason. We'll talk to you later. More with Vicky Golden, motocross superstar, and Chris Pastris talking skateboarding here at All Action Sports Radio. We're back here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. Don't forget, our email is allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. And if you want to call, you can call us at 855-892-9606. And if you want to check out our podcast, you go to audioboo.fm/allactionsportsradio. All right. She is a three-time gold medalist in ESPN Summer X Games and Women's Moto X. Last year, she shocked the world with her best whip gold medal. She made history. In 2011, when she became the first woman in the history of the sport to qualify and race against men in professional championship racing. And now, today, she has officially become the first female to earn a professional Monster Energy Supercross license through the Amasaw Arena Cross Series featuring Ricky Carmichael's Road to Supercross. And she's only 21. I want to welcome, a big, big welcome to Vicky Golden to All Action Sports Radio. Hello, Vicky. I'm Wes, your host. Welcome to All Action Sports Radio.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And first of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It's been a good road, and I'm stoked I finally got that license picked up.
You know, I know it's been, I've been reading up about you and our crack research team gives me all kinds of information. So I have a lot to ask you because I'm kind of excited that we have you on the show. But has it all sunk in now that you are historically relevant in the world?
I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think it was just more after a while it became for me, like, just to be able to finally get it. It was like basically a 3-4 year process just to get through Arena Cross and be able to do it healthy and have the financial ability to do it. So it was finally, both of those things came together, and finally this year was able to get on a good team with the Babbitt's Monster Energy team and actually, get a good bike and get a good setup to be able to race and have good teammates to help me with everything. And it all just came together. So I was stoked to just finally be able to get it. And then, obviously there's historical meaning behind it, which is awesome. But it's just one of those things that did more for myself than anything.
I know, but someday, Vicky, you're going to be watching television and you're going to be watching Jeopardy. And they're going to say, who was the first woman to ever qualify for and race against men in professional motocross? How cool is that?
Hey, if I'm on Jeopardy, I ain't going to complain.
No, you're not going to complain. You're going to jump up and go, me! That was me! All right. Now, Vicky, look, I know that the road to achieving the ability to go on Supercross is extremely difficult. I mean, the landscape is littered with guys who couldn't make it, couldn't cut it, and in no way, shape, or form, it's a superhuman accomplishment to be able to do that. There's only a small amount of guys that can actually do it, and you did it, and you did have some setbacks, right? You were injured, and you had to take off a year.
Yeah, pretty much. my first year of arena cross, I was healthy, just couldn't have the financial to get through the rest of the rounds to be able to earn the rest of my points. The following year, I broke my collarbone right before and was only to do about half, and I just still wasn't ready, but, you know, kind of just forced myself to go to try, and I tried, but just couldn't get it done. And then, you know, took that year off after that and just still couldn't really put together financials, and the team was already kind of struggling, so they couldn't afford to put another rider on. So it all kind of just didn't work out last year, and thankfully this year all the pieces came together and I was able to do it. But every year it seems like there's more and more competition, so it makes it even harder every year.
What, was there a point when you wanted to give it, that you wanted to hang it up and just stick to FMX?
Yeah, I mean, actually, this time last year, I was pretty much ready to. Like, nothing came together, and I really did want to come back and race arena cross, and I was healthy to do it, and, you know, I just couldn't get the funding to go, and I couldn't really afford to just, you know, go by myself. So I was just, you know, I let it go, and I was like, well, we'll try again next year. And, you know, thankfully, you know, this year I really wasn't expecting anything to come out of it. You know, I made the same phone calls and kind of went through the motions and tried, but I didn't really put 100% effort into even trying to get anywhere a part of the series. And thankfully everything just seemed to like work out really easily and all come together. So that was like the biggest deal. Just like I said, you know, I was ready to kind of call it and just start, you know, learning freestyle and see where that takes me and give up my racing just because of it just wasn't working out and I was so frustrated with the industry.
Well, we're happy you didn't. We have more to ask you. We want to talk about, you know, this really baffles me. It does baffle me. It's like amazing to me how you rode two different bikes just to get where you are right now. And we're going to talk more about that and how you got into motocross and best whip, you know. We're going to pay the piper here with our commercial break, and we'll be back. We'll be back with Vicky Golden, Metal Militia rider and newly anointed rider about to go to Supercross. Back here at All Action Sports Radio. She's a three-time gold medalist in the ESPN Summer X Games Women's Moto X. She shocked the world with the best whip and gold medal, and she's the first woman to officially become the first female to ride professionally in a Monster Energy Supercross. And we are stoked to have Vicky Golden on the line here with all us here at All Action Sports Radio. Vicky.
What's going on?
Hey, not too much, Vicky. Just rapping with you about your motocross world, man, and what it's been like. What's the response been like thus far from your fellow competitors and just people generally in the industry?
You know, I think it's two different things. I mean, one of them's obviously most of, you know, people that are part of arena cross were pretty stoked for me, and then I think the industry, I guess more fans and stuff aren't too keen on it because they think, you know, like, I don't know, like they're just, they think, I think, I guess I get too much press just because of what I did, like, and they, I don't know. It's weird feedback from, I guess, fans, certain fans, I guess. I guess you always get the haters, but most of them are pretty stoked for me, and, you know, it's been great exposure for myself and for all my sponsors, so, you know, I can't really complain.
Who are your inspirations? What riders do you look up to?
Yeah, I think I look up to a lot of the freestyle dudes, which is weird for a racer to say, but I think what I grew up learning and what I still know what to do on a dirt bike is they do the complete opposite of what I do. And, you know, I mean, flips, any tricks on a dirt bike, I'm like mind blown when I watch them ride, just to see what they do. And like I said, it's the opposite of what I do on a dirt bike, and it just blows my mind. So like, I always want to know more and learn more about it.
Do you feel any pushback from the male riders, you know, when you're on the circuit?
Yes and no. I think they're all pretty tight with me. I think we're all good buddies, but on the track it's definitely a lot harder. I think they have a little bit of kind of pride on the line, and they don't want to get beat by a girl, even no matter what place I'm in. So I think that makes it a little bit harder for me.
Now, it is true. I read it. You rode two different bikes. You practiced on a Suzuki, and you rode a Kawasaki, you know, on the weekend?
Yeah, I actually did. Thankfully, Suzuki stepped up and gave me some support for the year. But this thing for Arena Cross was a team deal, so they provided me a bike for the weekends, and then it was kind of, it's not typically how it works, but just because I came in late to the series, it was more of, here's your bike, and we'll be here at the races. But during the week, it was kind of up to me to get some practice in, and thankfully, Suzuki did help me out with those bikes. So I was able to practice during the week, but yeah, it was on a different brand of bike.
Vicky, that's got to be incredibly difficult, to go from switch back and forth from bike to bike, and to do what you do is even more astonishing. How many people realize that?
I don't think too many people do. I don't want to bash one side, bash the team for not giving me a practice bike or anything like that, or bash Suzuki for not giving me the support to, go to Arena Cross or anything like that. It was just, I didn't really mind doing it. I mean, some days it was hard to go back and forth, not so much during the week because I had plenty of time to get used to the bike here at home, but going on to the weekends where, we only have a certain amount of practice and that's all timed practice, so it put a lot of pressure on me on the weekends to really to get used to the bike and get it done. But I've always been a rider to be able to just kind of hop on whatever and just go. So thankfully that really helped me. This past weekend in Salt Lake was a lot more difficult just because we had a two-week break. So I spent 2 weeks on a Suzuki rather than one day or two. So that made it a lot harder. But most weekends it was just, riding a day or two on the Suzuki and then going on to the weekend and having, 3 or 4 days on a Kawasaki.
And you did it, Vicky, and we're super proud of you here at All Access Sports Radio. Congratulations, and much success going forward.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Up next on All Access Sports Radio, Stereo's Chris Pastris talking skateboarding.
Yo, flushing metal park, drama heist, A store. We play baseball, then we slang 8 balls. Mission impossible. Alley caddy shot, got shot too, locked at the hospital. Jamaica ham, chicken patty with the cocoa bread. I know Jamaica's on drugs, call them cocoa heads. Since looking at the front door, always want more. So I got drugs and pump more. This is probably.
And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. And don't forget, we have our Twitter challenge and our Facebook challenge. You follow us on Twitter and you like us on Facebook, and you get a chance to get some out of our grab bag here at the office at All Action Sports Radio. It's All Action Sports Radio on Facebook and All Action Sport, no S, on Twitter. Hey, and speaking of tweets, Sean White sent out a tweet saying he was chatting with the president, President Obama, and they were talking about getting the word out on California Covered on the Obamacare initiative. And he sent out a tweet with him and the president, and they were dressed in these suits. It was, hey, everybody bagged on that guy during the Olympics, but when you're chatting with the president, that's pretty cool. I don't care where you are in your life. That's pretty darn cool. All right, we're in our skateboard segment here, and I am proud to have Stereo's own Chris Pastris here to talk about skateboarding. Chris, you on the line?
I am. I don't have the president, but I'm here.
You got dead presidents. You don't have the president. You got dead presidents.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
All right, we have Street League coming up, X Games, Do is in the works. Skateboarding, this is the time for skateboarding. It kicked off with the Tampa Pro. The thing I like about the Tampa Pro is it features, like, the best of the best. I mean, everybody is there, and that environment where if you're a kid, you can reach out and touch Eric Costin, Chaz Ortiz, Najee Houston. You know what the X Games and Do Tour, they got you up in risers and stands, and you're so far away from these guys. It's just kind of a disconnect. The Tampa Pro, just you're there. It's nice.
It's where you can use the same porta potty as Eric Costin.
That is an excellent way to put it, man. Now, Najee went there and he just laced. I mean, he just killed it.
Yeah, it was the one contest win that evaded him so far. He'd never won.
Oh wow!
Tampa Pro, and it was awesome to see him come out and just grab it up, you know. So it was pretty funny. I know it was, you know, big on his radar just as a personal victory, and he did it. It was pretty amazing.
For an event like that, that has more prestige, I think, you know, I could be out of line, than the X Games, more prestige than the Dew Tour, more prestige than...
Well, it's impressing the peers, you know. So I don't know about prestige, but, you know, it's for the skaters, by the skaters type of vibe. So it's winning peer approval, which for a lot of these guys, especially once you've won the big contest, what else is there left, you know?
You're absolutely right. Now, when you have guys who are just like technicians like Ishad Ware and Luan and Chris Cole, how does he do it? How does Naja just rise above such awesome skateboarders?
Super, super difficult tricks, you know? Like, he started off his run with a gap over the 10-foot box, which was huge, to back lip, and, you know, did things like the Nollie 180 nose grind down the handrail, and, you know, his victory lap, he did the 270 back kickflip to backside lip slide. So he just, the difficulty in his runs is just, it's bar none. I mean, the only other guy that's, if Luan, who got a leg cramp mid-run, mid-finals, and didn't even get to really put it together, Luan's probably the only person, difficulty-wise, that could give him a run for his money, at least at that event. Chaz, you know, super styly, mm-hmm. great, skated amazing. Some people had Chaz in first, but just Nige's difficulty is so high. You know, when he's on, it's really hard, if not impossible, to beat him.
I mean, he's so amazing, and he's been amazing for a little bit right now, but he doesn't seem to have that big name out there like P-Rod, you know, or Ryan Scheckler. I mean, he just seems to be, like, in his own little bubble. He's not out there in the mainstream. Is that by design, or is that just the way things are?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what his deal is well enough from a, you know, manager standpoint to know, but from my perspective, you know, the difference is P-Rod and Ryan actively pursue, you know, the outside press, you know. So, you know, Ryan's got all the stuff he's doing with Red Bull and the TV show he had, and P-Rod with all of the Dew programs he's involved in. I mean, these guys are, like, working it, you know. They're actively mm-hmm. promoting themselves as a brand, you know. And Nyjah hasn't done that yet. He stayed sort of core. And, you know, his sponsors, Element and DC, he does a lot of skate-related stuff for them. And even, you know, Monster, it'll be interesting to see. Maybe they'll create some content around him or something.
But yeah, because he doesn't do the
web. Yet to kind of create a platform for him to show off his personality, you know, or anyone has. So I don't know if that's purposeful or not, but it's definitely a factor in his popularity.
I think you know that right on the head. Now that I listen to you, it sounds like it's more by design than anything else. Dude, thanks for that clarity. Hey, Chris, we got to wind things up. I got to hit another commercial. But we'd like to get you on next week and talk some more skateboarding. Can we do that?
Let's do it. Let's talk stereo next week.
Let's talk stereo next week. Hey, you want to give a shout-out to Stereo real quick?
Yep, Stereo Skateboards, baby. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, StereoSoundAgency.com. We just put on Jordan Hoffert, Active Burbank. April 12th, be there. Jordan Hoffert's board launch party. It's going to be epic. Hoptoberfest.
All right, and you can find all that on your Facebook page at Stereo, right?
Yep.
All right, and Jordan Hoffert. I went to his page. You can find that also on Jordan Hoffert's Facebook page. Spell Hoffert, H-O-F-F-A-R-T.
Yep, and our Facebook is Stereo Sound Agency.
All right, perfect. All right, coming up more here at All Action Sports Radio. And this is our song of the week here at All Action Sports Radio. Faces of Film, The Rules. And And that's our show this week here at All Action Sports Radio. If you want to email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com, and you can call us at 855-892-9606. I want to thank our guest this week, Vicky Golden. Congratulations. And I want to thank Chris Pastures from Stereo Skateboards. Thank you for being a part of our show. And Jason Weingart from RacerX Online. We're going to be at the... Where are we going to be? Oh, we're going to be at the Spider Surf Fest. We'll see you there. Go have a killer week now. Big booty woman is hard to find. I find my big booty woman gonna do my duty.